Within the next few days, we will begin the study of the book of the Acts of the Apostles. When we are looking into this book, we will be seeing the record of the early Christians, and we'll be having a chance to consider and to study what happened just after the Lord Jesus Christ left this world, when the Holy Spirit of God came into the hearts of His disciples and led them in the service of God. It will be the story of the first Christians, these people who in time to come were to be, it was said of them, that they turned the world upside down. And I'm sure that every one of us who have known anything at all about the Christian church are acquainted with the word Pentecost, and it will come to our minds that it's one of the great words in the history of Christian experience. It was the occasion when God came into the hearts of those people who had trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we think about that and consider the amazing things that happened on that great day, it will be our joy to tell the whole world that this could have happened to anybody, in the sense that it was free. We're going to hear about how certain people gathered together under certain circumstances were blessed by receiving the Holy Spirit into their hearts. And if anyone were to ask us, well, did they pay for it? The answer is no. Well, had they already done special things in the sense of accomplishing something about this? The answer is no. Were they then such unusual people that each one of them was remarkable in his own field or in himself? And the answer is no. So far as we know, they were just the kind of people you'd find among men. Because it's one of the wonderful things about the gospel that we say, God is no respecter of persons. And we love to tell the whole world that whosoever will may come, that whosoever cometh will in no wise be cast out. Now all this is true, but we could easily give the wrong impression. While it is true that anybody can come, that anyone can be a Christian, and that God is willing to receive anybody, it also must be said over and over again, He will not receive them anyway. In other words, what happened to those people on the day of Pentecost isn't going to happen to any group of folks any place, not to every group of people everywhere. Now, it's true that these men didn't pay silver or gold, and it's true that they didn't pass through any special rigid examination, and it's true that so far as their actual earning it is concerned, they hadn't done a thing. But it's not true that it could have happened to anybody in Jerusalem. It's not true that this could have happened to anybody in the Roman Empire. And it's not true that the Holy Spirit would just come to anybody, anywhere, anytime. That's not so. And so we're going to look at this especially. We're going to ask ourselves, was there then something about these men that was different? And if so, what was this? And this is something we're going to bring to our attention now. Let me point out to you, right at the very outset, one thing about these men that in a sense makes them different. Although anybody could have this, and yet when you have it, you're just different from other people. And I'll put it to you this way. These were men who believed in God. Just that. They believed in God. I mean the God of the Bible. I mean the God of Moses, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I mean. They were the kind of people who believed the Bible. And right there you can stop if you wish and stop to think. You'll find good people who don't believe in God. Well, Pentecost will never happen to them. You'll find smart people who don't believe in the God of the Bible. Well, Pentecost will never happen to them. You might find people that you think would be well-intentioned people, even kindly people, and people who'll do things for other people, but they don't believe in the living God. Well, Pentecost will never happen to them. Because these were men who believed in the God who created the heavens and the earth. When they look out upon the whole world, they would consider that they were able to say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. when they would look at man and consider themselves, they didn't think they just happened. They didn't think human beings were just animals on the face of the earth. They felt that man had been created in the image of God. And I do not know any way to promise the Holy Spirit to anybody that doesn't believe in the God of Genesis, the God of the Bible. When we say that he was the God of our fathers, we mean things like this. Those men who were there on the day of Pentecost and to whom the Holy Spirit came were men who believed in the story of Adam in the Garden of Eden. They believed God was the Creator. They believed God was the Judge. And they believed God was the Savior of men. Now, they had that conviction. And you might say, well, that's not hard. Yes, but I want to tell you many people don't do it. And what I want to say just now is that if I or anybody else, anybody who in his consciousness has any question or misgiving about the reality of God being creator of the heavens and the earth, you can mark it down in your book. Pentecost will never happen to them. These were people who believed in the God of Noah. They believed that God could deliver a man out of trouble. Now, if you were to come across somebody and say, well, I just don't believe the flood, check him out. Just check him off in your mind. Pentecost will never happen to that man. When you get to the place where you cannot believe that God will do what you read in Genesis, where you read the story of the flood and your story of the ark and the saving of Noah out of the flood and so on, you come across a person that can't believe that, mark it down. They've disqualified themselves, not because it makes God mad, not because there's something that has specially offended his personal feelings, not that. They have disqualified themselves because if they can't believe that about God, you can be very sure they could never believe about God coming into the human soul. So again, he is the God of Abraham. And these were men who believed the story of Abraham. They believed that God called Abraham out of his own country and took him into a new land. And that as Abraham walked by faith, that God received him and accepted him. Every single one of those people on the day of Pentecost believed in the story of Abraham and all that it implies. They believed that God would make a covenant and keep it. He was the God of Moses to them. They believed in the story of Moses. Those were men who had no question in their mind about the exodus of Israel out of the land of Egypt. They believed that they passed through the Red Sea. And they believed that they wandered in the wilderness and that they came into the promised land. They believed in the crossing of the Jordan and in the fall of Jericho and all of the events that are in that account. There isn't a single one of those people on the day of Pentecost was a man who about any of those things had any question in his mind. You might ask me, is that important? And I'm going to say to you for the moment, just let me say it's real, and I can urge upon you this, that if a man can't believe in the salvation of Israel out of the land of Egypt, if he can't believe in the crossing of the Red Sea, if he can't believe in the coming of the manna every morning, if he can't believe in the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, if he can't believe those things, if he can't believe the story of Mount Sinai, and he can't believe the entrance into the promised land, that man could never believe what it takes to believe about the Holy Spirit, because God isn't that real to him. So he was the God of Samuel, the God of justice, the God of, dealing honestly and fairly with people, as Samuel undertook to show the people in his day and time. He was the God of David. And these men and women who were there on the day of Pentecost and to whom the Holy Spirit came were the kind of people who believed the story of David. They believed that God had promised David that one of his flesh would sit on the throne forever. They believed the story of the coming Messiah, the Christ who would come to rule. They believed in the promise that had been made to David that one of his own flesh should be the everlasting King of kings and Lord of all. They believed in those things. These were the kind of men who believed in the God of Elijah. They believed that Elijah could prepare that altar and lay on the sacrifice and call down fire from heaven and that the fire would come. You see, in your own mind, you can just check it off like this. If anybody could not believe that the fire could come from heaven on the altar that Elijah built, how in the world would he ever be able to receive the fire that came on the day of Pentecost when the tongues of fire were on each one of those people? You see, these things belong together. While it is true that God will come to anybody, he will not come to a man who has no faith. He will not come to a person who doesn't believe in him. There's no record at all in the Bible that the Holy Spirit would come into the heart of a person who is a skeptic. No, now God is his God, and the skeptic will answer to God, and the careless man will answer to God, and the sinner has his back turned to God will find God all right. God will find him. There's not a single human being on earth that won't stand in the presence of God to be judged, and men will give an account for every idle word that they've spoken. For a good many people, this is going to be a severe shock. They're going to be very startled about it. They're going to be greatly surprised. They're even going to say, when did we see you here or see you there? That's not going to change the fact any. But what I want to say to you just now is, such people will never receive Pentecost. Such people will never receive the Holy Spirit. And while it is true that God will come to anybody, it's not true that God will come to everybody. The fact of the matter is, he will come to those who believe in him. And one more time, let me say that these were the people who believed the stories of Daniel. The Lord Jesus believed the story of Daniel. He used the story of Daniel. And these men were the kind of men who believed in the story of Daniel. Now, I've gone over these things for this reason. You and I are challenged right here. Do we believe these things? Do we even know about these things? Well, would you understand how some of us could actually disqualify ourselves and never receive the greater blessings of Christian experience because we basically, simply, have never faced up to the fact as to whether or not we really believe in God, that he was the God and Father of Jesus Christ, that he was the God of the promises? So far as you're concerned deep down in your own heart, do you believe that he's a living God? When you walk out from your home in the morning, do you know there's God? When you go about your business during the day, do you know there's God? When you come home at night, do you know that there's God? When you lie down to sleep, do you know that there's God? When you hear about troubles and you hear about dangers, do you know there's God? Well, now, if you know there's God and believe in these things, God can lead you to greater blessing. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us to believe in thee. Give us the grace to put our trust in thee. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.